Welcome in, fans. It's another edition of FalconCast here on all of our Falcons properties, no longer just AtlantaFalcons.com. I am Jay Adams, joined by DJ Shockley.
What does that mean? Not what? Only just... You said...
Well, I used to say... So, when I used to host this thing years ago...
not just AtlantaFalcons.com.
Yeah, when I used to host this thing years ago, it's like it's still imprinted in my brain as like the opening was... Welcome in, fans. It's another edition of the FalconCast here on AtlantaFalcons.com. I'm your host, Jay Adams. Here's DJ Shockley. And to his left is Brian Bosek. But we're on iTunes. People are listening to us on apps. And then complaining about how much John and I talked about our weight last week.
John's going to put the collar. You've lost what? How many pounds now?
Yeah,
We're not even getting into this conversation. It's something to be excited or happy about.
Nobody was excited for 15 minutes of me and John talking about our weight loss last week. So,
which, by the way, DJ, you totally ruined his intro this week. You cut him off totally.
No, that's fine. I mean, right. Well, it was right before I got to you. That's why.
Yeah. Wow, I'm upset.
My bad, bro.
But
do it again. How about that?
Yeah. No, that's fine. we're not going to bore you with our personal lives because the message was received loud and clear last week. You guys don't care about us and just see us as little talking heads that are here for your entertainment.
So, well, how about people just they know how to find us on Twitter. They can find us on Facebook, Instagram, whatever. Tell us.
We have feelings. We have feelings like real boys.
We have a lot of football to talk about this week, though, so we should be all right.
We do, and we'll get right into that so that we don't get yelled at again and our feelings hurt. So, we do have a lot of football to
OTA.
Talk. Thanks, Bo.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You
want
to host it? Go ahead.
No, I just want
to crush it.
Go keep going,
you're like
Jay.
D-Led, just like finishing sentences.
nice.
We're going to talk a lot of football. OTAs, Super Bowl. What else? We got our player spotlight, new player spotlight. We'll talk about one new player in particular that is going to help the Falcons in 2016. We'll have our break with Bosek, which will not have anything to do with football. Okay, so like, if that's not
that
your
may
thing,
be rough for you,
then
I mean.
You know, you can listen to us for the next like 40 minutes or so, and then when we get to that point, you can stop it and then tweet at us and complain about break with Bosek. And then we'll get into our final play of the day, which I don't even know what that is. So we'll do all that, and let's get started with OTAs. Getting started on Monday, guys, and let's just start out real basic football 101 here. DJ, what are OTAs?
OTA stands for Organized Team Activities, and it's basically a practice. It's always a practice right now to get back acclimated from the summer, the previous season, get guys back. You get the new draft picks in here, the new guys who you've got in here from free agency. You basically get to go out and practice and see what you got right now. And it's not as intense as the fall is when you're getting ready for games. So that's the good thing about OTAs is you can be very specific about what you want to practice and the type of things you want to do during those practices. And you can see more guys. Obviously, in the fall, usually it's just the first or second string guys who get a lot of reps because you're getting ready for a game. In OTAs, it gives other guys chances to kind of show the coaches what they're about. So OTAs are good for guys who are, you know, on the edge of trying to make a team or trying to make a name for themselves or try to get on and show the coaches exactly what they're about. And we see a lot of guys who come in here who are free agents or tryout guys, and OTAs are huge for those guys. And sometimes they work out better than guys that you may draft in later rounds, and you know, some hopefully you hope those guys work out. But usually OTAs is just a time for maybe the second, third, fourth string guys to really show, hey, I belong on this football team, because they know what their starters are about. And like we were talking earlier in the week, and I text you asking you about a couple guys from OTA practice, and a lot of talk's been about Brooks Reed and all that kind of stuff. And this is a chance for him this year, even though he played a lot last year, was on the team. This is like a new beginning for him still to come out and show what he's about. He said he lost some weight and all that kind of stuff. So this is a perfect time to show the coaches before they get into training camp when things get really serious, to show them, hey, I'm coming off this off-season workouts, ready to go.
I think the point you brought up about OTAs just kind of being the time where you can really focus on some of the detail-oriented things is so important, because you're going to hear a lot of reports coming out the next couple of weeks until we get to veteran minicamp, which is mid-June, about so-and-so is – I saw so-and-so working at this position, mm-hmm. or so-and-so is cross-training at that position. Mm-hmm. And – don't read too much into that, okay? So the media is allowed to cover and watch one practice each week during OTAs. So last week it was Monday. This coming week it'll be Tuesday because of the Memorial Day holiday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's only one day a week, so you're hearing reports out of basically one out of 4 days that they're actually practicing out there. So always take what you hear with a grain of salt, but I think it's important to note that particular point because Dan Quinn pointed that out when he spoke to the media after Monday's first session. Is now is the time when you want to find out can a guy like a Courtney Upshaw play defensive end and Sam?
Mm-hmm.
Can Vic Beasley play defensive end and Sam? Mm-hmm. Can Brooks Reed play Leo? And so you're going to hear all this stuff about, oh, I saw so-and-so cross-training at this position. It might mean a switch or whatever. They want to see who has versatility.
Yeah.
Who they can cross-train.
Yeah.
And they're going to put them in these situations to see what they've got. Okay. And that's a great thing about OTA.
And you bring up a great point of those guys playing all these different positions. Like you said, DQ talked about finding guys who are very versatile, find out what some of the young guys can do. Can they do certain things? And I think that helps you more right now because, like you mentioned, when you get in a training camp, it's going to be so specific to let's get ready for this preseason game. Let's get ready for this game. You don't have time to see a guy do 3, 4, 5 different positions to get ready for the summer, get ready for it. Now it's training camp time, and you got to know what these guys can do.
Right.
So that's what OTAs is about, like you mentioned, is being able to kind of showcase guys in different positions. It doesn't mean this guy's going to play X, Y, and Z. It just means we want to see what he can do if we put him in this spot later on.
Yeah.
And that's what OTAs do for you.
And you know what's funny is that, and I think this is a good opportunity to kind of clear up some stuff because there's been a lot of stories out there about how, you know, Vic Beasley's moving to the Sam linebacker spot. He's going to be playing in a lot of Sam linebacker. And so the instant reaction is, whoa, I knew we drafted him to be a guy who could cover and not pass rush, and he's not going to help our pass rush and blah, blah, blah. Okay, so Dan Quinn explained this perfectly on Monday. You're running in your nickel 40 to 50% of the time, and in those situations, your Sam is rushing the passer.
Right.
And so, yeah, there are going to be times where you're going to see Vic with his hand off the ground, and he's going to be covering a tight end because he's got really good coverage skills.
That's last year, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, but the idea that Vic is suddenly not going to be a pass rush specialist like you drafted him to be is completely false. The dude has put on so much good weight. The pictures of him right now, I tweeted out a picture last week of him last year in rookie minicamp and how he looks now, and the difference is just astounding. He didn't say how much he weighs right now, but I guarantee you he's carrying a lot of good extra muscle this year. Looks strong, looks still fast.
Yeah.
And they're going to be depending on him to be a versatile kind of guy.
And
so you know, to kind of clear up this misnomer that suddenly Vic Beasley is going to be dropping back into coverage all the time, I think is pretty important for us here.
As a former quarterback, knowing a guy can do multiple things forces you to know exactly where they are at all times. Because if you know, okay, I know this guy's going to rush the passer every single down, then you know if I drop back 5 steps, this guy's going to be coming around my left or right edge. But if he's the type of player who at times I can drop back and then maybe he could be dropping underneath coverage when I think he's rushing a field, that just adds another dimension to this defense. And if you guys remember us talking about the draft and all the guys we drafted, the guys that you bring in here, tryout guys, whatever it is, everybody we drafted are versatile players.
Yeah.
And right now is the time to see, okay, we drafted them because we thought they were versatile players, but can they be those guys we want? Can they be a Vic Beasley who comes a year later and be able to rush the passer and also drop back in coverage? You have a Keanu O'Neal who we know can come down in the box, but also can he come down in the box or can he play the high safety? Can he cover tight ends and running backs, or is he just a in-the-box type of guy? this is what OTAs does for you. It lets you find out those type of things. And then also, even not even just for the guys that are rookies, it's good for second-year guys like a Tevin Coleman, who's coming in here who, you know, probably didn't have the year he wanted. But now he's been in the league. He knows what it's like. He knows the speed of the game. Now he can play faster. He's still in the same system. This is time for them to show the coaches, okay, yes, I am a year removed, and now I can play at a different level. I can play at a different speed. I understand what you're asking of me, and you can really increase their play and see what they're about.
Yeah, and you're going to see a lot of that and hear a lot of that, you know, in the coming weeks, like I said. But, you know, let's get back to a couple of the guys that stood out in that first session. You know, DJ, I know you weren't there, but you're just going to take my word for it.
I trust your word. I was
up close and personal, taking pictures and doing all kinds of stuff and paying attention to some of these guys. With a word of caution that, look, they're in, you know, shirts and shorts and helmets. It's not, you know, you can go out there and be a practice all-star if you want to be, but you can tell the difference between somebody who's taking advantage of the practice situation.
But I've been in camps with guys who are in shorts and shirts and look terrible. I've seen those guys before, so
I believe
it's not just everybody can look like all stars. I've seen some guys who can look bad. Cut in shirts and shorts.
Yes, exactly. But let's get back to Brooks Reed, because he seems to be who everybody's talking about. The media obviously impressed by his physique, his build, as they took a look at him on Monday. He's trimmed down. He's really put on, again, another guy who's put on good weight. And Coach Quinn brought him in this offseason. He said, this weight that you're at right now, this is where I want you, because you're faster here, you're more powerful here, and you're a bigger asset, and it opens you up to more versatility. Like I said, you know, he could be playing a little bit of Leo, you know. Yeah. We didn't see that at all last year out of him. So I think first and foremost, this is a guy who's got to stay healthy. But secondly, you love to hear that he has put so much work into his game that he's come in and made such an impression right away. I was watching. I was literally 10, 15 feet away from him as he's coming off the line with his hand in the dirt. And let me tell you, he's got some get off.
Yeah.
And if you're going to line him up opposite Beasley, you're going to line him up opposite like a Courtney Upshaw, who can, again, we've talked about, he can set the edge and really kind of take up some space for you. There could be, you know, a big year ahead for a guy like Brooks Reed.
I think Brooks Reed, guys like Courtney Upshaw, guys who are in a position where they could really explode, like you mentioned, in the right system, given the right type of motivation. Like Coach Quinn said, hey, I want you to be at a certain weight. I want you to be able to move at this certain pace. And he's responded. And Brooks Reed is a guy who was pretty productive at Houston. He was very versatile as far as what he could play. Obviously, his first 2 years, I believe, he played 16 games, and he played 13 games the other day or something like that. So this guy's a guy that you can count on. Yeah. He's a guy that's going to be there for you. And I think what Coach Quinn asked of him is what he knows his potential can be. If he gets in the right type of shape, he gets in the right type of form where they want him to be able to rush the passer and be a guy who can be on the field for two or three downs. So it's good to see Brooks Reed taking the challenge on by Coach Quinn, I should say, and coming back ready. And it's great you have these OTAs, because coaches can see, okay, when we left after the season was over till now, you just didn't take it. He didn't say, all right, I'm just going to go do what I want to do.
Yeah.
You said, all right, my coach wants me to do A, B, and C, and guess what? I come back from day one OTAs, and I'm hitting on all cylinders. And for guys to notice it and recognize your head coach to come up and mention it and even say it to the media, it means that it's something that he's really impressed about.
The voluntary offseason program that started a couple of weeks ago, participation rate 100%.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, that's all you got to say as far as the dedication of these guys. 100% participation rate.
I don't think any year I was here we ever had 100%. I would say the team that I were on were pretty good units, pretty good team. Guys are pretty good, but there were always, you know, three or four guys that weren't here.
Sure.
You know, guys had contract issues or whatever it may be, but 100% some means guys, that you're all in.
Some guys have their own trainers and want to do their own thing.
Right.
This is a situation where you've got 100% of the guys in that locker room who believe in the system that they're putting in as far as working out, as far as getting better, as far as building camaraderie. And I mean, just the fact that they're showing up to voluntary workouts is absolutely huge. You're going to have situations where guys will miss a week because they got a family vacation planned or something. You know, it's still the summer for these guys, and but they'll have a pretty good break right after mini camp and getting into training camp. But you know, having that 100% participation, I think, really helps with ultimately the brotherhood aspect, the team aspect that you want to continue to perpetuate here, and Coach Quinn has certainly been doing that. But I think it also gives you a better idea of the skill set of your teammates. You know, you've got to be able to trust the guys that you're on the field with, and especially when you're talking about, you know, a new system for some of these guys last year, and a new way of all the way down to tackling. So you got to build a lot of trust off the field in order to have it on the field, and that's what this time of year is.
I think guys don't want to miss out on
fear of missing
great.
Out, man.
I don't think they want to miss out on something.
They got
great.
FOMO.
I mean, you got so much stuff going on. You got so many good vibes around this building. Coach Quinn is so inviting as a coach. All the coaching staff are, you know, they're inviting. They want the most out of their players, and I think guys enjoy being here. I think they enjoy their teammates. You know, you hear some teams, there's always a rift one way or another. Some guys don't like each other, whatever it may be. But being around these guys and knowing a lot of these guys, you feel like it's just a good group of guys, and they want to be great. They want to be better than they were last year. And with the leadership you have at the top, all the way down to, you know, your rookies, I think it's a position that this team is headed for.
One thing I've noticed, too, we've been fortunate enough to be in the locker room twice now so far, and the energy these guys are bringing in the locker room, the family, like, I mean, I haven't been in many times. DJ, you might be able to attest to this, but showing that they're all close when they're working out shows that they're probably going to fight just as hard together when they're on the field in the season. So, it's great to see that. I love seeing that as a fan.
It goes a long way when I can tell you, when you get into September, October, November, and there's a tough third or fourth quarter, or there's a guy who's struggling, you can go back to May, June, and July and remember that guy sitting right next to you or in a three-point stance, and you're both sweating like crazy and you're both tired. You see both of you gasping for air, and you make it through and you finish the workout, and come later on the season, you revert back to that and say, this guy gave everything he had. So I know he's giving everything he has right now. I got to pick him up. I got to do a little bit more for him. And guys do that all the time. They play harder for each other when they've seen their fellow brother go through the same thing that they've gone through, the sweat. And you hear the cliche all the time, the sweat, blood, and tears. It's literally the sweat, blood, and tears. You see guys out there sweating their butt off to get going and make it through a workout. And I mean, if anybody, you know, hasn't seen the video of the guys going through the SEAL training and all that kind of stuff, I mean, that stuff is priceless, man. That stuff they have to go through, they will remember that when they're playing on Monday night against whoever.
That's going to be interesting because, you know, every chance that these guys have had, they've called back to that training. You know, just in talking to them in media conversations or even in regular one-on-one conversations I've had with them, they all harken back to that week.
Yeah.
That week was so special for them for so many different reasons. And if you watch our video that we put up, that our video crew, along with Brian Bosek, did a fantastic job with.
Thank you very much.
Oh,
I appreciate
welcome.
The comment.
You're welcome. I did pause so you could thank me.
I mean, it was awesome.
It was awesome. But
I watched it in the fact of, man, I wish I could have did that. I wish I could have been a part of that to say, I was there.
That's exactly the emotion I was left with was that's a part of something that is exclusive.
Right.
I want to be part of that.
Right.
And if you're part of that and you can, you're standing there with like, what is it? Like seven or eight guys who are carrying this huge heavy log and you're relying on the guy next to you to carry as much weight as you are. And the guy next to him and the guy next to him, that builds something that you can't really put a price on.
And it goes back to, you're talking about being 100% all the guys here. What if you weren't here and you weren't able to get in on the conversation when it comes up later on about how tough that was, but we made it through?
Exactly.
That's an awkward position to be in as a teammate to say you weren't there. I mean, well, whatever reason, maybe because you couldn't make it or whatever, but I'm just saying the point of having 100% guys there to be able to revert back to that moment and say, I was there when we went through that. You guys remember when we were carrying logs? You remember when we had to push sled? I mean, just that kind of stuff. I remember my rookie year. We had, a lot of people don't know about Flyer Branch, but they have a huge hill out there. There's a big pond out there, huge hill. My rookie year, something happened, and all of us had to run that hill almost 25, 30 times. And when I say this is bigger than a hill.
We're not talking about the hill that you sit on
no,
at training
camp.
No, not
that hill. No.
That's a hill.
You
guys ran on is more of a cliff. I mean, it is almost a straight down drop.
But after we were done,
70 degrees probably.
After we were done, 2-3 years later, our rookie class was still talking about, dude, you remember that day we had to run that hill? You remember we was throwing up? We was thinking this ain't worth it. This is ridiculous. Yeah. But we made it through. Those type of moments build you up as a team. And we talk about this because this is a Falcons unit that – later in the year is going to have to find ways to lean on each other to get wins in the fourth quarter, to finish games off. And this is a team last year who we know, you know, lost, you know, 4 or 5 games late, you know, just because of whatever the fact is. But these are times where you have to finish. And these type of scenarios and situations help you finish games.
And here's another point about that I think is important to point out is that not only did the players participate in that, but there were coaches that were participating in that SEALs training as well. So if you've got your position coach or your coordinator who's participating right alongside you,
that goes a long way.
I mean, the things that does for you, I think mentally, as you build relationships around this team and build trust in one another, I think is huge. And you're going to hear us and a lot of other people call back to that Navy SEALs week as a poignant one for this Falcons team because it is definitely going to be – it seems like it was impressionable on them. I can't see that fading, you know, by the time we get to September and October.
And one last thing I'll point at is these guys are professional. These guys – have worked out their entire life. And when you bring something new to the table, it's different. It's something that makes you want to work even harder. It gives you that motivation. And as guys who's done every type of lift, every type of run, and to expose them to something different, like Coach Quinn does, they expose them to different things in the team meeting room with the basketball goal. I mean, I've never been to team meeting room with a basketball goal. I mean, stuff like that, the competition part of – whatever you do is so big, and just new things are always great.
I was, and you have – you sound like – you look like you have something to say, Bo.
No, you're good. Keep going.
Oh, you're just holding on the mic. Oh, okay, because I was going to
– I had something, but you could keep translating.
Oh, okay. I was going to transition and then let you back in, but we'll just transition here. I want to get to what happened earlier this morning. You know, we're recording here on Wednesday, and you're hearing this probably Thursday and Friday. But, you know, on Wednesday, first ever situation where the media was brought into the team meeting room, and Coach Quinn and Keith Armstrong, special teams coordinator Keith Armstrong, went over film and tackling techniques in front of the media, let them ask questions completely. It was completely like off the record stuff. So you're not going to see video of this. You're not going to see, you're not going to hear direct quotes and stuff like that. You know, I can talk about, and the rest of the media can talk about, you know, just overall generalities about what they spoke about, but there was a lot of stuff in there that was said in confidence. And we're certainly not going to ruin that trust, but, you know, we talk about the passion that Coach Quinn has and the passion that this organization is really developing, and it starts in that meeting room. I will tell you that I sat in that meeting room for an hour and a half and listened to Dan Quinn and Keith Armstrong talk about something that they very clearly hold deep, deep within their hearts. Like, this is not a job for them, okay? This is a lifestyle for them. It is something that they are so extremely passionate about. And I was called up earlier before to go 30 seconds from the foul line against Kelsey Conway.
And?
I won. Ooh. 1-0.
Oh, one gosh. To nothing? In 30 seconds?
In 30 seconds. So we
you
had 30
had
seconds.
One free throw in 30 seconds.
One free throw in 30 seconds because that's how good I am at basketball. And I think I had more air balls than I did baskets. But they have like these speakers in there, like these Bose speakers that just boom. It's like surround sound, right? And they turn it on and it, like your time will start, and I'm like, oh, okay, I didn't know it was all this. And it's like music playing and you're taking shots, and it's like 5, 4, 3. I'm like, oh my gosh, I gotta, you know, it was crazy. And so I can only imagine that room when you're in the middle of OTAs and you've got 90 guys in that room,
yeah,
and a coaching staff in that yelling room all you. Going nuts, yep, and going crazy as you're up there shooting free throws. That's fun. It's a fun environment. Just everything that we went through this morning, where we're looking at actual plays from the coach's film, and they're breaking it down.
How they break it down to the players.
How they break it down. Yeah. And the most fascinating thing that I found out of the whole thing, and there were so many things. I think I learned more about football in the hour and a half I was in there than I think I did in the previous 5 years. But this idea of the rugby style tackle, mm-hmm, that Coach Quinn has brought in is completely different than what I thought it was, than what I was ever taught as a kid. It's probably completely different than what you were ever taught as a kid. And it is absolutely fascinating,
dude,
to see the examples of how crucial this type of tackling is.
Well, if I had to tackle, then there was an issue.
Right.
There was a problem.
But yeah, in high school, you didn't play any like defensive back or nothing
I played defensive back on like third down.
Oh, okay.
When they knew they were throw the ball.
You got to protect the arm. Protect
yeah.
That UGA arm. You
know? DJ Shackley.
I think what I know what you're getting at is people don't understand how detailed these coaches are.
Yeah,
about.
It's incredible.
About their skill. About coaching.
See,
football.
You've been in film rooms, so you kind of know. So this is, you're probably like, yeah, this is what they do. For me, I was like, and I work here.
Yeah.
And I didn't, and there's stuff going on in there that I had no idea. Keith Armstrong's pointing out like things on kickoff coverage, and I'm like, wait a minute, there's like strategy and stuff? Like, wait a minute, I thought we were just like trying to bust some heads down there. But no, it's amazing.
I was here, we used to actually sit in on some of the special teams meeting, and we would see, okay, they're kicking the ball deep right because they want to pin the guy in or something. You know, stuff like that. Did you think, you know, they got a strategy for it?
Yeah.
They want to confine the guy to a certain area and collapse the area and all that kind of area. But the thing about watching film and how coaches are, they're so detailed about every single thing. I remember we watched film and they would, our QB coach would break down every single step in our drop. He would watch our attack angle when we're handing the football off. Some people think, okay, you turn around and hand the football off and that's it. No, you had to step at a 6 o'clock. You had to step at a 5 o'clock. You had to step at 4 o'clock if you're trying to get way wide on that stretch zone. I mean, there are so many things that are so detailed and small when coaches are breaking down the film. So that when I saw that they were doing it, I said, this is pretty awesome. I don't think there's anybody else who would – open it up and show them exactly, this is what we do, this is how we teach, and this is how we show our players this is the right way this should be done.
Right, and that's, I think, what my expectations going into it were, just like, what are they really going to teach me that I don't already know? Not saying that I know a lot about football, but like, they understand there's competitive balance here. Right. You're not trying to give the media like all the trade secrets and things like that. They went really detailed into what exactly the technique that they're teaching from a tackling perspective, you know, what they're trying to do on kickoffs, what they can do on kickoffs, like all these different things that they were going into, and you're just sitting there like, oh my God, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, so I want to talk real quick about this rugby style tackling thing, because this was completely foreign to me, and I'm sitting here explaining it to two guys who weren't in the room. So I'm going to be interested in hearing your take on this, because I went through an entire football season, never really noticed, and shame on me for that, because when let's pretend you played any sort of defense.
I look at it like, you can't know what to look for if you don't know.
No,
what
you're
it
right.
Is,
you're know? Right. But we heard all about this rugby style tackling. I played rugby for like 5 days. And so I, there was nothing. Oh, let me tell you something.
It's all about the scrum.
I played. Yeah, no, the scrum is the reason why I got out of it. Because let me tell you something. I got vertebrae back here that are still hurting from the scrum.
The scrum.
Okay. So that's my rugby career lasted 5 days. So I didn't really get into the tackling part of it.
Gotcha.
But to know what that means when Coach Quinn says rugby style tackling, all right? So let's pretend that you actually played some defense as a kid.
Cool.
And they weren't, like, you know, giving you arm massages when you were 7, 8 years old, being like, hey, let's...
True. I played defense. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah. So what you were taught, and what a lot of coaches, a lot of youth coaches, a lot of high school coaches, professional coaches, college coaches teach, is proper technique is breaking down, getting your head across the body.
Right.
And driving through and wrapping up.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Rugby style is completely different. Okay? So instead of trying to get your head across the ball carrier, you are trying to get your inside shoulder to their outside shoulder to maintain leverage. Okay? You know, this would be a lot easier to explain if this was video. We should do a video podcast sometime, guys. What do you think?
Really? Oh,
no,
man.
I'm just kidding. No, I realize that me describing this could get a little bit complicated. So I'm gonna try not to get
too
into
the weeds. But I can visualize what you're saying. Okay, first,
right.
shoulder to other shoulder.
Yeah, shoulder to shoulder, and you're coming in, and there's a strike zone. It's, okay. That's what he called it. It's from, you know, the shoulders to the knees. That's your strike zone. That's where you want to be hitting a guy with your shoulder. You're not hitting with your head. You're not hitting with your elbow. You're not doing any of that. You're coming in and you're delivering a hit directly into that strike zone with your shoulder, and you're getting your head on the outside of the guy. So what that means is if he decides to go to shift on you, go one way, you've still got leverage to make that tackle. But if he also switches the other way, you've got the leverage to make that tackle as well, because you're the immediate thing. First guy comes in, wraps up. Second guy comes in, he's the dog that's beaten at the ball. Mm. Okay, that's the way it was described. And then everybody else fits in where they fit in. It was just so fascinating to hear that, because I had always been taught that the proper form tackle was your head across the body.
Right.
That's the way you get a guy down. This is completely different. This is something that...
So the head is not across... It's
not
on,
across
it's
the
on
body.
Outside
it's,
of the body?
So you're a ball carrier. You got a ball in your left hand there.
All right.
Okay? I'm coming across, and my head is actually going through that part, the left side of your ribs.
Okay.
Okay? And then my shoulder's going right into your gut.
Oh.
And then my left arm is coming all the way around you. So I've got you wrapped up.
So if you shift either way,
shift either way, you're going nowhere.
My
boys are coming in. They're trying to get the ball off of you. But while they're trying to do that, I am reaching back to the back part of your hamstring, right behind your knee, and I'm lifting you up, and I'm driving you right into the ground. It's
interesting.
It's really fascinating. Mm. And when they started, they explain this, and then they show the film
of them doing it.
Of them doing it. Oh, wow. And you realize, all you Paul Warlow haters,
and it's spot on,
how amazingly good he is at this particular technique. All you Kamal Ishmael haters, how amazingly good this kid is at that technique. It is truly fascinating to sit there and watch the film of these guys doing that technique and how amazing it works. Wow. I mean, Ricardo Allen might as well be Ronnie Lott to me at this point.
Wow.
I mean,
so you see some guys doing the actual film that are technicians at it, huh?
Yes.
Actual guys doing it right on point.
It's incredible. It really is.
You know what?
They know what they're. I was just going to make a sarcastic comment saying, wow, they know what they're doing out there?
No, I know, right? Who would have thought?
But I think when I think about it in that light, I look at it in an age of football where there's hardly any tackling, there's already hardly any practicing of tackling in practice because you don't want to get guys injured.
Yeah.
So the fact that you can show a guy how to actually hit a guy in a way that he can make the tackle and then also go after the football in one is it's awesome.
And
I mean, the way you explain it, I can see it.
Yeah.
And I bet once they explained it to you and then you saw it on film, it was like, oh, it's super clear. Like, you probably saw it and like,
it's amazing.
I see this every week.
And if you see a guy out there and he's missing a tackle, it's because he did not do this right. It's because he did not focus on the technique that they're trying to teach. And so now you can go back and you can say, all right, in week three when so-and-so missed this tackle or that tackle or whatever, it was because they were trying to go back to their old ways of tackling. Yeah. Okay. And it's hard to break that. You've got these kids that have gone through Pop Warner High School and college learning one way to tackle, and now all of a sudden you're maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 years into your NFL career and they're teaching you a brand new way to do something that you've done your whole life. That's hard to do.
And I think it's a good thing that our fans actually hear this. They understand that the coaches are more than just X's and O's. They're teaching the techniques. And I've been on here plenty of times and heard you speak about guys that stay after practice. They stay longer. They're working on their technique. The X's and O's will come. You watch the film, all that kind of stuff. But the technique of it, these coaches care about it. They want to develop them. And sometimes you say, why did they get this guy? Why did they go draft this guy? Why did they bring this guy free? Well, they feel their technique, their system can teach these guys and show you why they could be better than average football players if taught the right way.
Right. And there's different types of tackles that he expects you to be able to identify depending on the situation that you're in. And one of them is called the compression tackle, which is basically two guys coming in at one guy at the same time, right? So this is what really sold it for me. All right. So Hugh Douglas is, he does the morning show at 92.9 The Game, our official radio partner. And Hugh played a little football, didn't he?
Yeah, he played plenty of years in the National Football
League.
Plenty
of years in the National Football League. And as I recall, what position did he play?
He was a linebacker, defensive end.
Yes, he was. He was a defender, guy who was paid to tackle. Coach Quinn brought him up on stage, and him and Quinn just basically went through the technique of this compression tackle.
There's no way Coach Quinn had his arms around Hugh.
No. Keith Armstrong was the guy, was the ball carrier. Okay, Keith Armstrong was the ball carrier. So we're talking about, like, if Hugh Douglas and Coach Quinn were coming in to Keith Armstrong at the same time, all right, what do you do? Because obviously we just explained that for the leverage tackle, you want to come in on that right. outside shoulder, right. and you want to get your head, around there. So what do you do when you're potentially meeting in the middle with your teammate? And the fact that Hugh Douglas was standing there and was like, oh, my God, like amazed at this technique and what was being explained to him and how effective it could be, really sold it for me. Because here's a guy who's played years in the league at a position that would do this, would use this technique on a daily basis, and he's sitting there saying, I didn't know this was possible.
And here's a guy who, in Hugh Douglas, who probably played 10 years in the league.
Yeah.
Myself, who played 4 or 5 years in the league, and there's still things that you can learn. And that's what these guys are coming in looking at right now.
Right.
These are guys who got experience. These guys who've played, multiple years in the league, and they come in here, and they're still learning as professionals how to do some of the simple things like tackle.
Yeah.
And that goes such a long way to – intriguing a guy to want more.
Yeah.
In this league, guys are always trying to find an edge. Guys are always trying to find a way to be just a little bit better to get another year out of, their body or find more years in their playing career. And things like this are what guys eat up.
Yeah.
They want that. They thrive on that type of knowledge to get from their coach. And like you said, to stand up there and watch a guy who played 10 years defensively and knows how to hit people and was standing there like, I don't know what to do.
Like, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to get my head across his body.
Yeah.
And then seeing how it worked was just it was really, really
something.
And then
they showed a video of two guys coming together too.
Yeah, and it was Ishmael and Warlow, and they just converged, and it was amazing. It's all about closing space.
Yeah.
So now I have a reference after sitting down in this meeting room. I have a reference for what fast and physical means.
And
right?
See, here's the thing that you're going to do now is, though, you're gonna watch the game the way I watch it.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it'll be completely
different
for me. I know
you guys used to ask me all the time, like, you just watch the game. Refine. I was like, I can't help it. Now that you know how to watch film, you know what to look for, you're going to be watching the game like, Okay, that was a rugby style tackle. Right. That's how. That's a particular, you know, issue.
But these terms, these buzzwords that become just buzzwords, just words, now actually mean something to me. Fast and physical, I get it. I get it, because what you're trying to do is you're trying to close space as fast as you can, and instead of a previous old dated technique where you are breaking down and stopping your momentum and then trying to get that form-fit tackle, you are instead trying to close space and you are hitting full speed with a completely different technique that allows you to actually be safer when it comes to concussions, safer even when it comes to shoulder injuries, and more effective when it comes to stopping bleed yards. And it's just it's amazing. And you know, I wish again that we could record all this and bring it to you, but you're just gonna have to.
The fans would have so much a different respect and look on the game if they knew the type of things that are being taught in a film.
It's incredible. Like I said, I'm going into my seventh season with the Falcons. And I think I learned more in an hour and a half than I did, the previous 3, 4, 5 years. So
that's awesome.
We'll have the next week. They're going to go over the defensive scheme and what they're trying to accomplish there. And then the week after that, offense. So I'll be bringing you some updates from that as well. OTAs moving on from that. I know we talked a lot about defense, but offensively, Mohamed Sanu and Julio Jones are developing quite a relationship off the field already, playing catch, doing all those kinds of things. Matt Ryan looked really good. Alex Mack looking fantastic. And, Austin Hooper is the only member of the rookie club who is not at OTAs because of Stanford's the Pac-12. They do a different semester situation. So he's actually going to be out for a little while. He'll return, I think, by minicamp. But he's doing a lot of work after his schoolwork, talking on the phone with Wade Harmon and getting caught up on everything that's going on here.
Schweitzer? What about my boys in the no-fly zone?
What about Schweitzer
here?
Oh, he's here? Yeah. Okay.
Schweitzer's here.
What about my boys in the no-fly zone? I know they're looking good. My boys True and
True and Alford. And Alford are looking absolutely fantastic. Again, it's tough to say. Alford actually – or Trufant actually picked off Matt the other day, and now, the defense is always going to be ahead of the offense at this point, but Desmond Trufant, it's that fifth year, that all important fifth year. The Falcons are going to be trying to get that extension done with him, so he knows he's got to come in and play well to get that second contract, and I'm sure that they'll want to get a deal done sooner rather than later.
He's a guy you want here.
Yeah. There, I don't envision there being any problems. I just like Julio last year, it's like you're going to get that deal done as soon as you possibly can. So that just kind of ties things up for OTAs this past week. Big announcement this week was the Super Bowl is back in Atlanta. 19 years. By the time they play it, it'll be a 19-year streak that is broken where the Super Bowl had not been played in Atlanta. So very happy for the city. I mean, it's created a buzz. You love to see it. And social media seems to be very happy about it. And they would love to see the home team participate in that one.
The biggest sporting event in the world.
It's the crown jewel for that place.
To have it here in Atlanta, it's going to be awesome. I mean, the buzz around it already is high. Then you still got – it's years away. But
years away.
It was awesome to see it get done. I know our owner, Arthur Blank, was really excited and pleased to get it done. Obviously, him and a lot of people have put a lot of work in.
City leaders, a lot of people.
It all started with the stadium and everything. So it's pretty big deal to be able to get the Super Bowl here.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's that. And wanted to talk real quick. We've been doing the new player spotlight. And this week, I just brought him up. Alex Mack. We were going to talk about Alex Mack for just here a minute here. And especially with DJ here having the perspective of a quarterback and that relationship with a center. And bringing in a new guy, Alex Mack's reputation is certainly well documented. I think the most impressive thing about him is you're not going to find in any stat book offensive linemen don't have stats, but you're not going to find in any stat book is just how smart this guy is. I mean, talking to him is like opening an encyclopedia to a random page. I mean, it's really amazing how intelligent he is. But we want to talk, you know, in this series as we move forward, just about what do we think the impact's going to be of this new guy on a team. And I think a good center is something that you can't underestimate.
No, and I think the number one thing, and you just brought it up, which comes to my mind immediately, and when you think of a center, you want the guy, especially as a quarterback, the guy in front of you is a guy who's intelligent, a guy who has seen everything, a guy that can identify so many different fronts, coverages, and takes a lot of pressure off a quarterback. And as a guy who's had to be able to call out the front, had to be able to call out the mic, be able to call out blitzes coming from a certain area, maybe have to slide a line one way or another, being able to say, all right, this guy may need a little bit more help, so let's make sure we double him. To have a center up front, he takes that off the quarterback.
Yeah.
He takes that away. So now all the quarterback has to worry about is coverage. All he has to worry about, where is his blitz coming from? Where is his hot read at? Those are the things that a quarterback wants to have to worry about, not the front guys. There's sometimes where the quarterback has to worry about, okay, does he have a three technique, a five technique, where they're going to run the football to, how many numbers are we call in the box to run the football. Things like that are, you know, things that are asked of the quarterback. But to be able to have a center of Alex Mack's not say potential, but Alex Mack will
caliber.
Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for.
There you go.
To bring to the table, I think it's gonna help Matt take his game back to where we're used to seeing Matt play. And I think last year he had a lot on his plate.
Is it fair to say that in the last couple of years Matt's probably had to think about more? Ever since Todd McClure left, he's had to think about a little bit more.
Todd was a guy who, when I was here, the quarterbacks didn't have to worry about.
I could probably play quarterback behind Tom.
You didn't have to worry about much, because coming to the line, he was going to point out before you even pointed out.
Yeah.
And then there were times at the line where he would see the blitz coming, and he would already slide the guys. He would already say, all right, let's go here. Let's make sure we account for this guy who's outside the end. And that just takes away from the quarterback. He says, okay, well, it's already done. So now you don't have to. The quarterback doesn't have to tell Devontae. He doesn't have to tell Tevin, hey, look, let's make sure we're watching this Sam over here, because guess what? The center has already pointed him out.
Right.
He said, this is the guy we're going to, so you worry about the mic. You worry about the wheel. And the quarterback hasn't worried about that. That's just one less thing he has to do. So having a guy of Alex Mack's caliber goes a long way, not just for Matt, but I think it's going to make everybody along that offensive line that much better.
And the thing I love, too, is his history in this system and his love for this system.
Yes.
This zone blocking scheme, you know, it's completely different than what you would expect. I mean, actually, that's another part of it. This series that Coach is putting on for the media, I'm really excited to dig into in a couple of weeks, is that zone blocking scheme and learning maybe a little bit more of the intricacies there. But just in my understanding of it, it's way less about, you know, pancaking a guy and getting him all the way down the field and just taking up his time just enough
angles
for your guy to get by, and that's it. And Alex Mack is a guy who is so fast off the line. You know, it's where was I? I think on Monday somebody was talking about how big Alex Mack is, and I'm like, really? Because to me, he's like and maybe I've just been around these guys too much, but he's no Ryan Schrader.
Yeah,
you know, he's not 6'8", and he's not, you know, he's wide, but you can tell looking at him, okay, he's athletic and he's probably got fast feet. And
those are the type of guys you need in this.
That's what you need in this system, and especially at that center spot.
Yeah, at center, you don't need the 6'8" guys. You don't need the 6'5" guys.
Well, look at Todd McClure. He wasn't the biggest guy either.
Those are the guys you need, the guys who are mobile, who are agile, because they're going to have some of the more athletic guys that are a foot in front of them playing nose, or, you know, they got to go reach the three technique. And we know, look at the guys we have. We have some very athletic guys that play along the defensive front.
Yeah.
So you have to be athletic enough to block those guys. And like you mentioned, in this zone blocking scheme, it's not all about being strong and pancaking the guy. You got to be able to reach him. You got to be able to get to him. You got to be able to just push him out of the hole so your running back can cut back. It's all about angles. And if he's athletic enough to get to those spots, that means a lot.
One thing that really struck me, and I think this is really telling of the Falcons fans' mindset right now, is when Alex Mack had his time at the podium here a couple of weeks ago, he was asked about how much has he worked with Matt, you know? And he's like, well, you know, we've taken a couple of snaps together and we've thought it felt okay, and it's
a normal thing.
He was
really.
throwing to the guys on the roots, and I ran off, and the rest of us are like, wait a minute, did you guys fumble?
Everywhere else in the world it's normal, but here it's
right. It's the last couple of years we've been a little bit snake bit with the center quarterback exchange. And for a guy like Alex Mack to just come in and be so flippant about it was kind of like, oh, wait a minute, that's right. That is kind of a basic thing that most professional athletes or Pro Bowl centers would not have a whole lot of worry about. So obviously what can you say about this guy? He's going to have a huge impact on this team going forward. And, it's going to be exciting to see him finally get on the field for us in some real competition here. But
when a center is your number one priority in the offseason.
Oh, yeah.
That means it means a lot to your offense. It means a lot to your team. When everybody in the entire building says, we got to find the center. We have to find the nucleus.
Yeah.
And he is the guy that is just as important as the quarterback because he touches the football just as much as the quarterback.
Well,
so I think that's underrated for a lot of people is how important a good center is.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think – how underrated would it be to have the most hated man in the NFL on your team?
Oh, man, you know.
How underrated is that to have – the most hated player
Atlanta
in the
Falcons
NFL.
Fans, you need to go on AtlantaFalcons.com right now and look at the interview. It's not even the interview. It's him answering Twitter questions from the people, and it is hilarious. It is hilarious.
If you guys missed it, Jacob Tammy was named somehow, someway, the NFL's player that fans love to hate.
Dude, I couldn't even – when it was said – I had to text you.
You texted me, and you were like, what? Is this real? I'm like, no, it is not real, but it is fabulous. He beat out Tom Brady, Cam Newton, and Richard Sherman.
Wow.
So Sirius XM, NFL Radio, our good friends over there. Alex Marvez was having his show, and he had a caller come on and basically brought up this topic of guys he just hated in the league. And, he brought up Brady and Newton and Sherman, and then he said Jacob Tammy. And because Jacob Tammy used to take touchdowns away from Dallas Clark when Dallas Clark was injured when they were in Indianapolis, and that's why he hated it. He just loves to hate Jacob Tammy. Now, a little context here. Jacob Tammy might as well be Santa Claus, okay? Because you can't say anything bad about this guy. Like,
so
seriously,
good deal,
man. He is the nicest guy you would ever want to meet. I mean, just, I don't even know how else to describe him.
Great dude.
As you could tell in the video, if you get a chance to watch it or if you have seen it, at the end of it, he mentions how he's on a plane and he doesn't even recline his seat
because
on
he feels bad and he's tall.
And
he's an NFL player.
He deserves to recline his chair, too.
Exactly. If anybody does, it's him. And anyways, they put out this poll and we saw it on Friday night and we're like, well, this is kind of weird. Like, was there a mistake, something? And Marvez came out and he tweeted the rest of the story about how this caller called in and next thing you know, Jacob gets on Twitter and he's like, this is awesome. Like you guys got to make me the most hated. He just wanted to beat Richard Sherman. He wanted to beat the guy that was closest to him. Falcons fans rallied together over the weekend to make Jacob Tammy the most hated player in the NFL by voting. He beat out Tom Brady, Cam Newton, and Richard Sherman.
Jacob,
and
congratulations.
Jacob,
buddy.
Congratulations. We've done he's been
Falcons
such a,
fans, congratulations.
Yes, Falcons fans. Let me tell you something. We hear all the time it's the cliche that Atlanta fans are apathetic and they don't want to get behind anything in it, and that's crap because let me tell you something. When there's hate to be had,
go get it.
This fan base comes together and gives it out and doles it out in hilarious fashion, and I want to give out kudos to all those fans who voted for Jacob Tammy. Jacob is thrilled to be the most hated player in the NFL, and I think that is a title he's going to carry with him for a while.
You can't hate him if you watch
it's
that video.
It's hilarious.
I mean, it is ridiculous.
This is how nice he is, okay? They just finished their first OTAs practice, right? And me and Bo wanted to get him in this room, actually, that we're in right now because it's got a, if you turn on the lights, there's this big Falcon that glows in the background. It's kind of cool and everything. And so he just finishes. It's hot outside. He just finished practice. He's sweating and all that. And we're like, hey, man, you know, we got this idea. You just read off a couple of the tweets that people sent you about being, you know, the meanest or the most hated man in the NFL. Just read it in the camera and that's it. We'll be done with you. Take 5 minutes, right? Brought him in here. He's talking to us the entire time and everything. And then I'm like, all right, all you got to do, just read like, seven or eight of them. And we'll choose from there, put together a video. We'll be on our way, right? How many did he must have read 25
of
them.
I think it was about 20.
Sat here and just went through them like hilariously, just reactions to every single one of them. There's so many outtakes that we didn't include in that video that could make another video.
I would
video.
Love to hear some more. Some of the stuff people were saying, I was like, what?
It's amazing. And kudos to Falcons fans for being as creative.
Oh, yeah, there were a lot of creative ones. And then every place the video got posted, it's YouTube, Reddit, Facebook.
SportsCenter today.
Yeah, people were commenting, and they were giving more reasons why.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's become quite the meme. If you know what a meme is,
Jacob talked to our team, and we lost.
Yeah, and then he looks at – he said, he's like, I really know this guy. And he's like – just didn't have your kids ready to play, Pete. Yeah.
So I'm up on you, didn't ready to play.
I died. Yeah. Me and Bosek are in this room, like, in the background, just, like, trying not to lose
bite my tongue the whole time.
Because he was actually absolutely hilarious. And so I actually think in one way or another that Jacob Tammy became actually a fan favorite over the last weekend, and that was fun to see. But nice. That's basically the week in Falcons, guys.
Yeah.
Now, if you say that we didn't talk about football this week,
I mean,
I got another thing for you.
That was a great Falcon cast.
All right, that was a great Falcon cast, and we haven't even gotten to the break with Bosek. No. And who knows? Okay, so if you
don't, this might be the end for everybody right here.
If you don't like non-football things, is it a football question?
No.
Okay, if you don't like non-football things, turn it off and then
they always make you think.
Then go on Twitter and complain to us about how we're not talking about football. Go ahead with a break with Bosek.
I prefer you guys stick around to hear this, but
okay.
But here we go. Uh-oh. This could be our final play, too.
This is final play.
Final
okay,
play.
Double trouble, double jeopardy right here.
All right, here we go. If someone were to give you a bag.
Okay.
A bag or a box or however big
a plastic bag or a duffel bag?
It depends. It might have to be bigger than just a bag.
Like a box.
But
they, could be a box.
They'll give you a box.
Refrigerator box?
Sure, refrigerator box.
Okay.
Of everything that you have lost in your whole life.
Ooh.
What would be the one thing that you're going to search for first? Like, what's one thing you want to find in that box?
My mind. My sanity.
Ooh, that was a good one. That was off the cuff.
My sense of self.
So something that I've lost in my whole entire life.
The past,
but it's in that box somewhere.
Yeah, everything that you've lost is given to you.
Here, I got one.
Yep.
When I was a kid, I must have been like 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. I don't know. I went into this men's room at the mall, and somebody had left like a little diamond ring on the sink. And why somebody would leave a diamond ring in a men's room, it was like this little ring, gold ring that was like a dolphin that went around the finger and it had like little diamond eyes and everything. And so I took it and I showed it to my parents. I'm like, should we take it? I don't know. I was an actual good kid. And I said, what should we do with it? Take it to Lost and Found or whatever? And they're like, nah, keep it.
How much is it worth?
Jerry and Carol, right?
Wow.
Just being like, nah, you can just keep it. So anyways, I kept it, and I would wear it. I don't know. I like dolphins for not the team, but I liked dolphins when I was a kid. I don't know why. And then I went out one day to play in the snow, and I had my gloves on. And I don't know. I took off my gloves or something. Lost in the snow. Can't find it. I have no idea where that thing went. I would want to look for it just so I know where it is.
How long did you cry?
Oh, probably a while. You were talking about blood, sweat, and tears earlier, and I think I cried earlier today.
He cried for a little bit.
Yeah, that would probably be it. It's not something I miss. I just wonder where the heck it went.
You know what? Bosek, I always leave here, and I'm like, oh, man, I should have said that, or I should have said
this.
So right now, nothing. I've lost some things that I really wish I would have found before, but – the only thing I can think of right now of some real value, but something's gonna come back to me. But I lost a pair of Gucci shades one time. Mm. I don't remember where I was, but these suckers cost me like $300.
Okay, here, this is another one of my bugaboos. You guys are gonna set me off like 2 weeks ago when I went off on suits. $300 on sunglasses?
Yeah.
Were they prescription at least?
No.
No. Okay.
They were.
Do they give you a direct connection to Mars?
But they were so fly.
Let me tell you something, my friend. You show me a picture of those sunglasses.
They were so
fly. I can go over to one of the big box discount stores and find something that looks exactly like them.
They change a tint and everything.
$15.
They change a tint on you, man. Like if you had on some black, they'd be like black in the sunlight. Then you get outside, they'd be brown. I mean, it was cold blooded. Cold blooded. Dude, when I lost them shades, but guess what? I ain't bought nothing since then. I won't buy no more.
No, a long time ago.
This was like years ago.
I ever spent on sunglasses was $150. You know what I did? I ruined the damn things because I couldn't put them in my – so I put them in my pocket. I didn't want to wear them on my head or anything like that. I put them in my pocket, and they broke the
dude, ain't no difference between 150 and 300. They both a lot. So
that's what I'm saying. So I stopped. I said from then on – give me the most I will pay for a pair of sunglasses is $15. And let me tell you something. Since I went to that policy, I've received more compliments on my shades. I'm telling you right now, I've had more people be like, oh, you got the stunner shades on today. I said, yeah, I do.
Don't know the difference.
Because when I scratch them up, I'm like, well, I'll just go get another pair of cheap sunglasses.
Both of them things was fire.
As long as they protect me from all the UVs and the SPFs, I'm okay.
You can't get them $15.
Yes, I can. you don't need that. I bet you your $300 one couldn't do that.
Oh, they did all that now.
Paying all that money for it. It's like designer jeans.
Maybe a drink and everything.
Yeah,
Bose, what about you?
We're paying $100 for like ripped jeans or something.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But yeah,
give me $100. I'll rip a pair of Lees for you and send them over.
When I was growing up, probably I wasn't like a kid, but I wasn't a teenager around that time. I had a PSP. Like
2 years ago, yeah.
It was like a kind of like a Game Boy, but it was more advanced. It was like a PlayStation portable system.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and I used it all the time. I would use it when I went on the plane on vacations and stuff. And I don't know where it went.
Huh.
I don't know if it got stolen. I don't know if
somebody got you.
I don't know. So, like, I've cleaned out my room since I've left. I haven't found it. I don't know where it could be. Jim's going to be upset to hear this on this show.
Oh, this is like a confession.
I mean,
Jim.
Jim probably doesn't know.
Jim sold it.
Jim knows now.
Jim got rid of that.
I don't know where it went.
Because let me tell you something. When I said, if you don't like non-football, hang up, Jim didn't stop.
No, he didn't.
Jim's listening to this right now.
He walked away, huh?
I don't know where it went. I got the games and, like, the movies you could watch.
Still there, huh?
Yeah, I don't know.
But the portable thing itself is gone.
I got an iPhone now. I can do everything on that.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. Isn't losing something like really important like the worst feeling in the world?
Yeah,
like if you feel like you don't have your wallet or I got off the exercise bike. I'm not going to talk about exercise. I swear. I got off the exercise bike the other day. I've got Bluetooth headphones and I walked away and I'm like, "Where's my phone?"
You got
and
the Beats.
I left it on the left
Beats
it on
headphones?
The bike.
You got Beats headphones?
No. Okay. Hell no.
I was going to say now.
Are you nuts?
I was going to say now.
Okay, so my headphones policy $30. No more than $30.
You need good quality sound while you're working out, man. You don't need all treble in your ear. You need some bass.
I got a pair of expensive ones that were given to me. I wore them literally 6 times to the gym, and they wouldn't turn off. So every time I'd have to learn how to work your stuff, man.
Listen, you got to learn how to take care of your stuff.
Technology just ain't working for me, and I'm not paying all this money for it.
See, it's you. You are not doing a good job with your
stuff. Now we're getting to the finger point, and we're gonna talk to you next week here on the FalconCast. Thanks for joining us. Who knows who will be here next week? Will you be here next week?
I'm here next week.
All right, I'll be here. John will probably still be in Punta Cana.
Maybe we'll get him, who knows.
We may have him call in on speakerphone or something like that. But we'll catch you next week on the FalconCast. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next week.